Free agency is fraught with danger. The spotted lizards of the Galapagos Island.
The phrase I never want to hear again at One Buck Place, because it means nothing and it's a disaster. Cross train. Shut the hell up.
Who's your hungry dog up there? Gentlemen, I have been impaneled on a jury. It's a freaking holiday.
All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the great sage, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeKemper is here, of course. What would be a podcast without Lee? And Sage, we have a very special podcast today. We are live right here at Bill Curry Ford. That's the Ford dealer 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, the best darn Ford dealer anywhere, family-owned. We have got General Manager Sean Sullivan, our resident draft guru. He's going to walk through a unique mock draft with us, which is going to be the focus of this podcast, which is very cool. We've already recorded it, Ira, so we know and we can tell everybody that it goes in some different directions.
And it's very Buck-centric, too. Very Buck-centric, how different picks affect the Bucks and whether the Bucks would have been interested in this guy. He always brought it back to the Bucks.
And it's not one of these seven-round Bucks mock drafts. We go from number one to number 14, the Bucks pick. Very entertaining. Get to BillCurryFord.com to start your vehicle shopping search. Tremendous used inventory. And, of course, the nationwide lifetime warranty is always there, including, Ira, on your 2020 Ford Escape that you love so much, cherry red. Last podcast, Ira, twice, he called it an escort. I had to edit that. Now, I didn't know if you had hookers on the brain or what.
Maybe I got an escort on my brain or something, Lee. I'm not in a hotel room. What's going on over
now,
here?
I edited that out, but you got Ford. You can't call it a Ford Escort, Ira.
It's the Escape. It's a beautiful vehicle.
Escort was like 25 years ago, wasn't it? Big box. It was a Ford, but
it's really fun. It was fun audio. I'm sitting there listening. I was like, my gorgeous Ford Escort.
My Escort. Oh, jeez.
But how's the vehicle running? You enjoying it?
It's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. I mean, the features. I'm washing the car every 2 days, Lee. I never washed my old car. I'd go 6 months without going to the car wash. Now I'm shoving $2, two crisp bills into that little thing, that little sucker that sucks it up, gives you the quarters. So I'm there every 2 days. Washing off this vehicle.
So, Lee, help me out here. I was talking about he likes the features on his Escort, and he's shoving $2 bills. There's something going on here.
Don't try to connect any dots over here. don't embarrass yourself over here, Isbitz. By the way, it's great having Isbitz back on this podcast, isn't it, Lee?
Thankfully.
It's fantastic.
Yes. All right. Well, Bill Curry Ford, we appreciate all their support for your work on JoeBucksFan.com, Ira. And we have to remind everybody, Thursday, April 23rd, we're getting closer to some big announcements with the draft party. It will be at Big Storm Brewery, the Clearwater Tap Room, right there on 49th Street, Ira. We're going to get everything rolling probably 6 o'clock. Draft starts at 8. We'll be there all night.
Sean Sullivan is committed to the draft.
Sean Sullivan's coming. There are going to be some special guests there, Ira. And I'm looking forward to confirming that before the end of the month.
Ira's not special?
Well, Ira will be there. Ira is the
king. I'm definitely
going
to be there.
The king. It'll be a lot of fun, as always. Now, the Big Storm beers. Lee is a beer connoisseur.
Speaking of special.
I can tell everyone, as much as Lee enjoys a good beer, if Big Storm wasn't fantastic beer, they wouldn't be a sponsor of this podcast. That's the bottom line.
Lee's had beers maybe in 30 states out of the 50. Especially, and he was talking about some cheap beer out of Illinois. I forgot
Stag.
The name.
Stag.
The Bromosa, which is that beautiful tangerine IPA, Ira, that we're going to take a picture of you again as you enjoy another one of those things. It's the orange.
I never reach into my pocket at these draft parties, Lee. It's a beautiful thing.
You shouldn't
have to. They're buying me shots. They're buying me this.
So much fun. And, of course, the Wavemaker Amber Ale. It's that time of year. It's going to get cooler later this week. It's nice for a good amber, good manly beer. The Wavemaker. Go to BigStormBrewery.com.
I like a pale ale, I think, Lee. A pale ale.
Smart man.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that Riesling?
No, that's not Riesling.
Not Riesling.
No, no.
Okay.
No, no.
You're off your wine stage. You're back on beer now. All right, so Big Storm Brewery, the food there at the tap room in Clearwater is fantastic.
I can't wait to try the food.
New kitchen now.
The menu looks good.
New kitchen now, Ira. So even more special. Save the date, April 23rd. You've seen it all on JoeBucksFan.com. Very exciting stuff. Can't wait to mingle with all the fans. Ira, let's get right on a couple of Bucks things because free agency is a month away. As Lee always says, the dinner bell will ring. And I want to ask you and Lee, I'm going to back away. I want to know, the timing of all this stuff is so critical, Ira. And this is Jason Light's toughest test in free agency. Because you can't go into free agency not knowing anything about your defensive line guys, right? So let's assume they lock up Shaq. You got Nassib, JPP, and Sue. You have to have somebody locked up before you start. Otherwise, you don't even know what you're doing. So talk about the timing and the dominoes that have to fall here.
I think the Bucs have to be proactive, Lee. Now, you said they're going to lock up Barrett, and I agree because that's the one definitive thing that Arians has said. Mm-hmm. He's in the bunker, but he said it, 6 weeks ago. He's not going anywhere. And if he ends up going somewhere, Arians is going to look really bad. And I don't think Arians is going to allow that to happen. So they have the mechanisms in place to make sure that Barrett doesn't go anywhere. But these other guys, Lee, by proactive, I mean free agency, it's fraught with danger from a Buck perspective because Pierre Paul has reinforced his reputation as a freak of nature, as a leader, and as a guy who's hungry to play. He could have called it a day. He's got money in the bank. He had a major injury. Instead, he worked like the Dickens to come back. Only missed half a season, and he was very productive when he did come back. You can't question Pierre Paul's, dedication to football.
No.
And that's going to make him a very coveted guy on the free agent market. And, Lee, as you always say, it only takes one team, and the odds are there's going to be more than one team. There's going to be a lot of teams that are after him. I think Sue's the odd man out. I haven't put that much stock in losing JPP, but he's been cryptic on his part. Maybe it's going to come down to money as it usually does, mm-hmm. Lee. And everybody says when they say it's not about the money, it's about the money. Lee, I really don't want to think about life without JPP at this point because Barrett needs an edge teammate over there that's proven.
He does. I mean, but it's not like there aren't any decent options. Clowney springs to mind immediately. This Williams guy could be a replacement.
Leonard Williams.
Could be a replacement for Sue. I don't think it's out of question to believe Sue or JPP leave. I don't think it's ridiculous to say that. I mean, I don't know who I'd rather lose. I don't want to lose either one. But I guess Sue would be most replaceable, I guess. Now, granted, they didn't ask him. I'm slurping the Bucks' messages here. They claim they didn't ask Sue to get sacks. Now, Steve thinks that's a preposterous statement. I understand where he's coming from. Just for the point of argument, I'll swallow that, which I have before. If that's the case, then Williams could replace him. Leonard Williams, for example. And there's others, but Williams springs to mind. Clowney is out there. Clowney would be an excellent pickup.
Lee, you got to admit one thing, though. Arians has been vocal in the last few weeks about the importance of retaining these core defensive players. Arians doesn't want to lose these guys. Arians has the power in the building, and he's going to tell Light, get this done. Find a way to get this done.
So what you're saying is Arians is going to summon Jason Light to his office.
You love that word, summon, baby.
All right, guys, I'm going to refocus you on the timing of this. And what I meant is, let's say free agency is 5 days away. Do you go to Sue and say, you got 2 days to decide on a deal? Or do you go to him now and say, Ndamukong, we love you. We want you back. Here's the best we can do. We need to know by March 5th. Do you do that first and pick your dominoes to fall here? Do you go to Nassib and say, this is our ceiling. If you're going to go to free agency, we'll just release you now if you're not going to take that. And you can come back to us if you're interested. How do you play it? Do you let JPP test the market? Because you can't. How do you plan with a guy testing the market when he may be that critical? I'm trying to figure out how they do
this.
You
let JPP test the market, you're going to lose him. Lee, you're going to lose him.
I think there's a medium here. I think you can be proactive without giving demand, without outright saying, take it or leave it 2 days. If you pull something like that, you better have your backup plan in place. For example, if you start making demands on JPP, you better have Clowney ready to sign. If you're going to start making demands on Sue, you better have Leonard Williams wrapped up. If you start making demands and don't have a backup plan, you're SOL.
Well, you know who's going to earn his keep? Mike Greenberg. Mike Greenberg's the money man. He's the guy that works hand in hand with Jason
Light.
No,
the money man's last name's Glazer.
I understand. He's the guy that puts the guys' names up on the blackboard and goes out, extrapolates 3 years ahead, and this is what we can afford under the cap and everything. And Greenberg's got a pretty good reputation.
Here's what I got
some
to say.
Some of the Buck contracts have been favorable towards the franchise.
Here's what I got to say about this. I don't think that guy has any more influence than Mike Greenberg on ESPN.
Ooh, Mike Greenberg. And they're not related. They're not really.
I don't know if they are or not.
Steve, to your point.
He follows orders, this guy
does. I understand, but he's still the money guy.
He's a money guy. He signs checks. That's what he does. He follows orders. He follows orders from the Glazers. He follows orders from Light. He follows orders from Arians. I don't think he's any more influential than Mike Greenberg on ESPN, or you give me some Mike Greenberg that's a CPA in San Francisco.
And Steve, one thing you haven't mentioned in terms of timing is what's your decision on number three? Which way are you going?
Well,
you're factoring in $27 million for a franchise?
If they don't know that by now, then there's something wrong at One Buck Palace.
Well, first I was going to say, I knew Lee was going to say he signs checks, and I agree. He runs spreadsheets and says this is what we can afford, and then he clears checks and signs contracts. To think he's involved in the football conversation to me is silly. But that's just me, and that's just Lee, I think. Anyway, look, Jameis, March 10th, that's the deadline to franchise him. So if you can't really talk to these other quarterbacks before March 10th, you have a big decision. You either franchise Jameis, and if you don't franchise him, then you're playing hardball with Jameis, where it's like, wow, okay, he could test the market. We could try to squeeze him before the last day. But there's a real timeline here. If they don't franchise Jameis by March, if they don't franchise him at all, wow, what a week that's going to be. Yeah. Of lunacy. Yeah. I mean, to me, I just think it's Brady or bust. I think they would go all in on Brady and have a lot of fun with it and say, see you later, Jameis. We'll draft a quarterback. But
Always been saying franchise Shaq. Make him prove it again.
Now, Lee, let's not be naive and think that no conversations ever happened between teams and agents of prospective.
In 2 weeks, that's going to happen.
But before before that open deadline, let's not be naive.
Is the combine 2 weeks or next week?
Is next week.
Okay. Better get my winter coat out.
So, Ira, any other thoughts on the priorities before we head over to our mock draft? Priorities for the Bucks and free agency. Guys, they'll want to really know before, you know, the dominoes here. What's the big fish besides Shaq to get done?
I don't think Buck fans are worried about keeping Shaq Barrett.
No, he's going to be.
I don't think they're worried about it. I think they know he's coming back.
He'll be here. But who's next for the Bucks? They got to make some decisions here, Ira.
I think JPP is a critical piece, not only for the reasons I gave Lee, some of the intangibles, and I can just see you guys saying, I don't care what the guy does in a locker room.
No.
But he is a veteran presence up there, and I'm assuming Sue's going to be gone. And if Sue is gone, you got Nassib, you got Vea, you got Barrett. Who's your hungry dog up there? Who's your lead dog?
If you're not hungry, you shouldn't be on the team.
Who's your lead dog up there?
I don't give a damn.
In crunch time.
Who's the best player? Whoever that may be.
Lee, Ira, do you overpay JPP by 10%, 15% to keep him? Right? If you think...
If you don't have a backup plan, you better.
If you sniff around and you say, yeah, JPP might get 2 years, $25 million from somebody. It's 12 and a half a year. We'll pay him 14. Do you think that happens?
I'll tell you why it could happen. Here's another critical part.
Don't let it happen.
You're picking 14 and not 4. So at 14, and I don't care how good Jason Light's intel is, and it's been pretty good over the years, and he's proud of it, that he thinks he's got an idea of what teams are going to be doing ahead of him. He's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
But now you're at 14. And if you got your eyes on an edge rusher, you know, thinking, you know, hey, we could afford to lose JP. We'll replace him with a 22-year-old. That's a lot cheaper. You don't know that you're going to get that guy. You don't know that.
That's very true. That's very true.
So that's another factor, Lee. Picking 14, that impacts your thinking a little bit.
That's very true, but couldn't you not also say that in a draft? I mean, what I mean by that is, let's say the Bucks had fourth pick, hypothetically. I mean, couldn't you say, well, you know, I don't know that guy's going to be as good as JPP. He's talented.
My point is you don't not even knowing the guy is going to be as good. You don't know that you're going to get your guy.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, that you have on that board at 14. Mm-hmm. So, look, I don't want to read too much into this cryptic nature of JPP. I think if you show him the money, Steve, as you're suggesting, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't want to come back with the Bucks and be part of a package with Shaq Barrett.
Well, I remember back, it might have been before Thanksgiving, but it was in November, I asked him, do you want to come back here? First thing he said out of his mouth was, it's close to home.
Is he going to get a better edge rusher opposite him than Shaq Barrett? Can he? I mean, let's be realistic.
Could, but will he? I don't know.
I can't pretend to know what JPP really wants here. I don't know what the market is. Maybe somebody is willing to give him a 3-year deal. I don't know. I mean, Miami's got all that money.
Close to home.
In the words of Steve, this has every chance to be an absolutely crazy month of March for the Buccaneers.
Oh, if they don't tag Jameis and they let play that out and play a little game of chicken, wow, that's going to be just fantastic.
Some people don't think Winston's going to be a hot commodity should he hit free agency.
By the way, I'm going to write a story about this. I did link to it in Morning Cup of Joe. People don't like to be entertained in the morning. What can I say? But that's all it's about.
Didn't you write a story about somebody calling Winston delusional if he thinks?
Yeah,
that,
I wrote that.
That was Scott Pioli. What I wrote, and I didn't really write it, I just linked to it in Morning Cup of Joe, that there was an article last week by, I can't remember the name, but he covers the Bears for Comcast Chicago, which is also NBC. And he said, you know, Trubisky is just garbage. He goes, it's time for people to come to their senses. Trubisky is garbage, and it might be time to go get Jameis. If Jameis is going to be dangled out there, he's an improvement over Trubisky. Let's go get Trubisky. And I didn't see this, but someone in the comments said this, that 75% of their readers, mind you, it's Bears fans. I don't know why Packers fans would be reading a story about Trubisky and Winston. 75% of Bears fans said, go get Jameis over Trubisky. And there are people out there that they think freaking Jameis is Bobby Douglas II. They think he's disgusting. He's horrible. He can't do anything. 5,000 yards. I don't give a damn. They're blinded by interceptions. You know, like go out and get a junior college quarterback. Can't do anything with it. But he won't throw a pick. But anyway, those people, they'd think that no one would sign Jameis.
Well,
I've always been saying, yes, there are. And Chicago's number one.
Given Chicago's defense, if it returned to its 2018 form, and they dropped off a little bit last year, but they have the pieces in place to have a ferocious defense, I think Andy Dalton might be a safer choice than Jameis Winston.
Safer?
From a Chicago standpoint.
Hell, safe. Like I tell people.
Get a job done. Don't throw too many picks, and we're going to win 20-17.
There's guys playing high school ball right now that guarantee you they won't throw any picks. Well, they won't do anything else. They hand the ball off. That's it.
The quarterback market is a Wild West situation this year. We could sit around and talk an hour about all the layers of the quarterback market. Now, before we get to the mock draft, Ira, and may I say you look fantastic today, later in the podcast you'll be telling a hilarious jury duty story. You're the only guy who gets stuck with jury duty.
On a holiday.
Unbelievable. But you will be seated on a jury this week, which is just exciting as hell. And I just find that.
Where was Tom Jackson to save you?
Tom Jackson didn't. It was a holiday. He didn't show up.
And not the Tom Jackson that used to work with that buffoon.
Former Tribunite.
And, you know, with all the connections we have in the Pasco clerk's office, we couldn't help you out. Sorry, Ira.
Now, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Now, you should be. It's a great civic duty, and I wish we had video.
The only thing you... Well, I'm not going to give it away.
Imagine me in the deliberation room, Steve.
The comedy. Now, speaking of comedy, you go on an incredible rant during this mock draft, which is just epic, and I don't know how else to say it. If you didn't hear it at the beginning of the podcast, the snippet of it, you'll...
Is this going to be an hour and a half podcast?
Yeah, we're going long with special mock draft. Special mock draft. The combine's next week. Last question, Ira, and then we'll take it out of here and head over to the mock draft. Lee as well. Gilbrandt agrees with you. He wants Jack Conklin to the Bucks. Spelled that out on NFL.com. My question for
you... I was first.
My question for you is, do you pay four offensive linemen $10 million plus? That's what it would end up being for the Buccaneers. Maybe only the Eagles do that. I don't know if anybody else was even close with that money on the O-line.
He's young. And he's outstanding. Pay the man.
Here's
he's young, and he's outstanding.
I got a question, follow-up question. Similar to Steve's. You got JPP, Sue, and Jack Conklin. Which one of those do you pick?
Conklin.
Ooh, over JPP.
You heard me. Over and out, people.
And that was a hell of a question, Lee. All right, before we dive into this unique mock draft, a first for the Ira Kaufman podcast and for JoeBucksFan.com, we want to remind you about Pin Chasers, where shoes are always free, and it's not a shoe store, it's a bowling alley, the place to go bowling in the Tampa Bay area. They have three locations. You can find them at pinchasers.net. There you can also see the daily specials. Sometimes they have more than one in a day. Tuesday night is the all-you-can-eat pizza bowl. Sunday morning is the breakfast bowl. Great fun on the weekends. Get to pinchasers.net to see the daily specials. And remember, you can have a company party right at Pin Chasers. And there's so much going on there. So much fun. Great upbeat atmosphere, games, food. You don't need to worry about the people who don't bowl. And they will give you a personal party planner that will take care of everything for you and make sure everything runs smoothly and is a great time. Pin Chasers, They've been around Tampa for so, so long, and you can find them at pinchasers.net. Reserve a lane today. All right, Ira. So as promised, we are rolling into the first ever Buccaneers mock draft on joebucksfan.com. But it's not just a Bucks mock draft. It's a real mock draft.
Somebody who knows the stuff.
Exactly. We're not doing the mock draft because, frankly, Lee, you and I, we don't care that much right this second about mock drafts. But you know what? People who are deep into the draft, studying it 24/7, they are all about what's going on now as we lead into the combine. So, of course, we bring in a man who just does not only provide fantastic service in every phase at Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan. Sean, tell us how you live the draft and how much you love this stuff.
There are no words to describe how much I love the draft because I'm a Buccaneers fan, right? So since I was a little boy, when you lose consecutive seasons, you know, 14 seasons in a row, one of the best parts of football for me is the off season because we're not losing, right? So I get to...
Hopefully.
Yes, no, I get to figure out what are we going to do this year to win, right? So I'm all about hope, like the Star Wars, The New Hope. I'm all about hope. I'm hoping this year. I'm optimistic. Just like every Bucks fan, that first two or three games, we're all optimistic. You know, we're going to go 3-0. This is going to be our season. This is going to be our season, right? That's how I'm going to start. And then
that's like you were until the Giants game last year, week three.
All right, let me lay out the ground rules for everybody. Sean is going to do a mock draft 1 through 14. The Bucks pick is 14. And he will sort of lay this out for us, and not a two-hour soliloquy here of the draft.
No, I'm gonna move through it. I guess we could talk about any kind of special players or trades, but in my mock draft, I think people are going to come up to get quarterbacks, so we're going to keep a good pace.
It'll be like the energy in the Bill Curry Ford showroom. A lot of energy in this place, which is where we are today.
He just made an executive decision. Some guy came in, asked him a big, big question. Sean sized it up in about 30 seconds and says, this is what I want you to do.
The best part, and I know Lee will enjoy this part, the guy comes in. I got to tell the story.
Go ahead.
Guy comes in. We're in the Bill Curry Ford conference room.
It's a financing question.
And we're
sitting
here.
Central Intelligence conference room.
Thank you, Lee. That's correct.
So the three of us and Sean are sitting here. He says, this is a very sensitive Bill Curry Ford management matter, Sean. Now you want to take this outside? He looks at us and he says, no, absolutely not. And so we got to witness this huge negotiation deal situation behind the scenes. Fantastic.
That shows his trust in Joe Bucks fan. It's a clear indication.
Well, here's a good one. And this is the story. When I first showed up here for this podcast, I went to the receptionist. I said, is Sean Sullivan available? And she says, well, I think he's supposed to be in a meeting at 4 o'clock. And I said, I know who he's meeting with. So you even have the receptionist.
I cleared my schedule for you guys.
And I'm rolling down the road in my cherry red Ford Escape, and it's a fantastic vehicle.
And of course, Ira, I come in here today. I see you in here. You're talking all about your vehicle. You know, you're still tickled the bun warmers.
But I can't get past the bun warmers.
And where did I buy my truck?
Bill Curry Ford. Now, Sean, they've had these seat warmers in vehicles since, what, 2002, roughly?
I'm a little behind the times.
Since the Expedition. So I would say 1997, the Expedition came out, heat warmers in the seats.
It was 86 degrees the other day. I still had the seat warmers on. I don't care.
Got to stay loose.
It's good for your back. Like, all right. Everybody asks me, why do I need heat on my seats? And we live in Florida, and they don't want to pay for it. I say, listen, if you're going to drive more than 20 minutes, put the heat seater on. It's just such a big difference when you get out of the car. I have an hour and 20-minute drive home. An hour and 20 minutes. I'm 45 years old. I wish I could tell you my back was in better shape. But when I get out of the car, it's like I'm just getting out of bed. Things are just, you know, my feet aren't working right. My knee's trying to give out. So got to have the seat. And mine has massage seats. So I would recommend that anybody who buys a vehicle – buy heat with the massage because it starts at my neck and it massages me all the way down.
We got a Swedish girl named Olga comes in off the back seat.
You would think at the prices that we sell cars at, you would think that it does come with a personal masseuse.
All right. We better get to this mock draft, right, Stephen.
Now, with
I
the
cleaned
first
that up
pick,
for you, Ira, yes, you just did. So you did.
With the first pick in the 2020 NFL draft, Sean, take it away. Keep rolling. We will jump in. I know Lee's got
Fantastic.
Some strong opinions. He will be hitting you soon, early in this draft.
Yeah, so this is an easy one with the first overall pick. If Cincinnati keeps the pick, and based on the point structure that happened from the Dallas Cowboys and the Jimmy Johnson point structure, it's going to be Joe Burrow out of LSU. I think that it's a no-brainer. He had the best college season in the history of quarterbacks. He even beat Tim Tebow. So I've got to say that if I was in the number one position, I would draft Joe Burrow, even though he doesn't fit my Parcells mold. He was not a 3-year starter, but he was captain of his team, and his completion percentage is one of the greatest in the history of football and professional and college sports, not just in the SEC.
And he played a big time schedule too, Sean.
He does, and he has moxie, right? I mean, he's got something about him. He's got that special, you know. Everybody's gonna tell you his height, weight, arm. Who cares, right? Yeah, if you went by that, you wouldn't have Brady in Montana. So I'm going to tell you that I think this guy has something special, and the Bengals will figure out a way to mess it up. So so I hope that he works out for the Bengals, because they're a long-suffering fan base, just like the Bucks, and I'm excited for them to get a player of this caliber. Second pick, I think the Washington stays in this pick. I think they go with Chase Young, who, you know, has been compared to some of the best pass rushers to come out in the last decade. You know, they're comparing him.
Bosa Boyce.
Yes. Yeah. I think he's better than Bosa's. And I'll tell you why. Just because athletically he's a better athlete. Those guys are going to be terrific technique. Watch, you know, what he did in the Super Bowl was amazing. But I think there's some health concerns with the Bosa boys, and there always has mm-hmm. been. I think they play all out until they get hurt, right? I think Chase Young plays under control. I think that he has 4 pass rush moves. I think he can win with power and speed. There's no way I'm trading this pick. Not to mention the Redskins, their defensive end situation is amazing.
A lot of talent on their defensive
line.
Look
who their coach is, Ron Rivera. And what does Ron Rivera want? He wants the defensive players.
He wants Joe McCoy to join him in Washington.
He can have him. So it's good. He can do that first step in the backfield.
Stay classy, Sean. Stay classy.
No, he's a wonderful guy. He just doesn't tackle. Third
number
pick
three
in the draft.
Overall
yeah.
pick.
The
number
Detroit
three.
Lions will not stay in this pick.
Oh,
this is going to be like the shake up, right? Carolina trades up to get over top of Miami because they need a quarterback. I don't think Cam is healthy, and I don't think he's staying with Carolina.
I don't think this David Tepper's interested in Cam Newton.
I really don't think so either. I think he wants a very accurate passer. I think that he's going to go with a Tua.
Whoa.
With that third overall pick.
So they trade up.
They trade up. I think Carolina trades up to 3, grabs Tua. I think Tua, if you look at him, his NFL comparisons are Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, how many times have you ever seen that? A guy get compared to 2, and it's not just his height and his size, because he's a smallish on the smaller side of a quarterback, but his accuracy, the way he gets the ball out, he's fast. He can read progressions extremely fast. Nick Saban came out today, said that he is the absolute best quarterback that he's ever coached. I think
that's saying a whole lot.
I think that is an easy pick.
And he plays week one as a starter.
I think he plays week one right away. And as long as his hip is, he's not going to throw at the combine because of his hip. I don't think he needs to. As long as he passes the hip test, which I'm being told that he's great and he's healthy.
He'll do their pro day. He will do their pro day.
Yes, and I think he's a better fit than, say, Herbert in this position.
Quick reaction. I'll just say one word, and there's no doubt about this guy's talent. No doubt. But one word. Brittle.
Well, I think he had a freak injury, right? So I think if you said that he had arm problems, rotator cuff problems, if he had constant ankle problems, if he had knee problems, I think those are nagging injuries that will continue. I mean, he had a very odd hip injury that they, you know, is one in a million type of injury in football. And he's young enough to where he can heal. And I think the way he gets the ball out, I mean, that was Drew Brees' knock, right? Drew Brees, 3 years into his contract with San Diego, hurt his rotator cuff. And they said he's too small to play. He's not going to be able to recover. And then, you know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback for New Orleans. I just think that the guys that can get the ball out fast, that can read defenses, are going to be healthy. He'll stay healthy.
I wanted to throw in, Sean, you mentioned you have an hour and 20-minute ride home. I know that you listen to everything about the draft possible.
I do.
And player evaluation. That's your time to soak up
that knowledge.
That is right.
So, I listen to every podcast.
I just wanted to put that out there. Now, the would Bucks fans, if Tua comes in and plays well for Carolina, would that be the end for a lot of fans? Would they go insane in the division?
Look at our division right now. Matt Ryan is going to get replaced. Cam Newton is going to get replaced this year. Drew Brees has 1 year left. He hasn't even signed his contract. We don't even know if he's going back to New Orleans. This whole Jason Hill talk
in
New
Orleans. Very fluid situation in this division.
Yeah, I think, and again, as a Bucks fan, I've got to be optimistic that this might be our year to surprise the NFC South with all the quarterback, you know, stuff that's going on right now. But I think you have to expect right now Carolina new coaching staff is going to have a new quarterback. You just have to know that's coming. And I think that they're going to go after a guy that fits what Tepper wants to do with that offense.
Real quick, when you said Matt Ryan replaced, you're not talking about this year.
No. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's coming up.
5 years?
No. I think if Atlanta goes...
He's taking a pound there.
If Atlanta goes 6-10 this year, they're going to go in full rebuild mode. Just like, you know, Detroit was considering trading Stafford. You know, all those rumors came out. These guys are making huge amounts of money. They're at the end of their careers, basically. I mean, how many years do you think Matt Ryan has left? To stay, if he was healthy, you think he plays 5 more years?
What is he, 37 right now?
He's 35.
Oh, yeah, he's playing.
I'd say 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. Right now, I'm saying if he's healthy, he just hasn't
proven. So if he gets beat up again this year, Atlanta's going to be looking forward for another quarterback.
I would have to think. They got salary cap issues as well. Yeah. I got to think there's going to be huge turnover at the quarterback position in our division.
So maybe that's why Scott Pioli beat feet. Got out.
So Miami's upset that Carolina just jumped them. They're pissed off because they wanted.
Everybody talks about Tua to Miami, and I'm going to tell you right now that he doesn't fit Miami as well as Herbert. And I think that Miami would be super happy to draft the Oregon quarterback in that spot.
So number 4 overall pick.
That's going to the Giants as the 4. I think the Giants stay in the spot and they take Becton, the number 1 rated offensive tackle in the draft. So I think
guy from Louisville.
Yes, he's from Louisville.
He
can play left or right.
He's ridiculous. He's a freak.
He's a freak. He's going to be like a difference maker. The Giants have been trying to fix their offensive line as much as the Bucs have been trying to fix their defensive backs. The Giants have been consistently drafting offensive guards and tackles.
Sure.
And they've all been busts. I can't remember right now the kid out of Miami they drafted in the first round. Flowers, yeah, who's bounced around the NFL. They thought he was their answer at left tackle. But anybody you put out for the Giants right now – you got Barkley. You need to run the ball. You need a road grader. Becton's the guy.
The best line I ever heard about an offensive tackle. A guy in New York was unloading about Flowers.
Yes.
And he said, this guy blocks like a pylon.
Like a pylon. He blocks like, I got you.
Now hold on.
It took me a second to get that one, Lee, because I was looking at this face. Point, you could barely get it out. It's funny.
At this point, I must bring up one of Mr. DeKemper's famous quotes. He throws it up at me every time I talk about the Buck offensive line. Every time I get the same answer from DeKemper. And now it must be directed at Mr. Sullivan. You draft an offensive lineman, it's going to take 3 years to develop him. Is that true?
Tell me a player that doesn't take 3 years to develop, and then we'll start our conversation with there.
Donovan Smith?
Tell me any position besides running back and wide receiver, and even wide receivers take years to develop. I'm just so tired of somebody telling me it's going to take 3 years to develop an offensive lineman. I know that was Arians. I know you talked about the Arians thing.
He's hardly alone in that.
You're developing for the next team. Listen, defensive backs, from everything, and like I said, I'm not an NFL coach, but every single thing I've read, and I've read Bill Walsh's book, I've read Bill Parcells' book, they all talk about defensive back being the hardest position to come in as a rookie and play.
No, that was before.
Right, so... And what did we do? We went ahead and drafted 4 of them in this past draft. So if Arians is really worried about developing players, then I think if you draft high enough, I think as the offensive linemen slip and you're drafting second and third round picks, I just think you can rely on them.
I think the answer is simple. That, depends on the guy that you pick.
Yeah, when you
pick the right guy.
When you have Becton, he's 369 pounds and he moves like
OJ. Say that again?
369. And he moves like OJ Howard on the field, right? So do you think that when Indianapolis – I remember Lee and Steve talking to me about the guard that went to Indy.
Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, Quentin Nelson. I know you love Quentin Nelson, right? So no one was talking about drafting a guard at what? What was the pick? 5 overall?
No.
6.
6th overall?
6 or 7, right before the Bucs picked.
Right, because we had that pass to the New Orleans game cost us Quentin Nelson at the end of the year where we had that stupid
pass. Right.
And they did nothing.
That's right.
Everybody walked off like heroes on their way to press box. Made no sense to me whatsoever.
All right. Now, number 5. Now, that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
That makes perfect sense for the Giants. They have the running back. They've got the quarterback.
And
now they go get the tackle.
I think the Dolphins are absolutely in love. Number 5 is Justin Herbert out of Oregon. So I think that he's their highest-rated QB on their board. I think because he can run and pass, and his Senior Bowl was absolutely phenomenal. Doesn't throw interceptions. He can run for first downs. He's accurate. He's got a strong arm. I think he's very intelligent. I think that he fits the Parcells mold, just so you know, Lee. He's a guy that started consecutive years. He was a team captain. Touchdown interception ratio was over 2-1, which is what Parcells said. And his completion percentage was over 60%. I think he was at 65, I think, for his career.
Not a great senior.
Well, okay. I think the first 3 games is where everybody thinks that he didn't have a good year. But if you look at his final 6 games, he was on fire.
Didn't most of his receivers get hurt early?
His game, yes, he had several players that left for the NFL the previous year while he stayed.
Well, yeah, but I mean, his receivers for this past year, a lot of them got hurt early, if I remember right.
I wish I could tell you the names of the Oregon receivers, but I don't. I haven't watched any film on the Oregon receivers.
So he's the guy the Dolphins will rebuild around.
I think he's their guy, and I think the whole Tua thing is a smokescreen. I think that every time you see a player linked to a team early, and then it's constant. Have you ever seen that player ever go to that team? It's very unlikely.
Interesting. Sage, we need you a little bit of your wisdom here, your helicopter wisdom. So number five, Sean's got the Dolphins taking a quarterback. Now, we all know the Dolphins tanked this whole season to get a quarterback. And do you think they played this right? Or should they, if they were going to do that, did they need to get up to number one? Are they going to walk away saying this is successful?
Well, they played it right if Sean Sullivan's right, that he is the highest rated quarterback, which would include Burrow, who most people have as the preeminent quarterback. But every team looks at quarterbacks differently. And on the Dolphins' board, Herbert could clearly be ahead of Burrow. It's possible.
If he had somebody like me, and I like Burrow a lot, if I'm sitting in a room and I have to make a decision that's going to impact the lives of all the people that work for me, and I do that every day, by the way, over 200 employees at Bill Curry Ford, I have to make decisions that impact their lives. And I'm telling you, if I was doing that and I was sitting in a room, I feel more comfortable with someone who started 3 years at a big-time program who proved it year in and year out. Burrow's never had anybody adjust to him the following year. I would be very interested to see how he started if he had stayed in school this 2020 season, just to see how defenses adjusted.
You know, speaking of the Dolphins, guys, tell me if I'm wrong, but
you're wrong.
They were not a bad team the last 5 or 6 weeks, including that incredible win over New England that sprung my Chiefs into the bye week, and who knows what would have happened if New England got that number two spot.
The only way you would say that they were a pretty good team is if we went by Bucs standards. They won five games. The only reason you're thinking that is because
people thought they were going 0-16, Sean.
It's the NFL, right? You can win every week in the NFL. It doesn't matter. You're absolutely right when you can say they played better.
Competitive.
End of the year, they were still trying to win, which I don't understand, and other teams were trying to lose. So you don't really get a good judge of a team unless they're on a playoff hunt, in my opinion.
We need some clarification for you, Sean. I made some notes here. Ira gets nervous when I make some notes. Yeah. But is this mock draft what you think will happen or what you think should happen or a mix of both? Because you sort of just said you would have taken Herbert if you had the number one pick.
This is not how I see. I don't put myself in the general manager's position and pick how I would pick.
Gotcha.
This is how I think it's going to fall. Everybody says there's only three quarterbacks. There's actually five quarterbacks that are rated for the first round. And I don't think you're going to see – I think you're going to see four of them go in the top seven picks. And I think it's going to surprise some people. People value quarterbacks in the NFL right now more than they value any other position.
And that's even with all these veteran quarterbacks who are in flux. It's a very funky year in terms of quarterbacks. Very funky.
It is. Phillip Rivers is going to be a bridge quarterback at 38 years old. He's going to be,
And then you got Brady.
And then you got Brady. Brady is in a win-now situation where a team that's close to a Super Bowl is going to go after Brady. And you know how John Gruden is. He loves those splash plays. And the Raiders.
Moving to Vegas.
Yeah. Imagine opening the Vegas stadium with Tom Brady running out into your field. I mean, that's a big deal. Yeah.
Man, Ira, I got to look for your wisdom, and I hate to cut off the draft here. We're coming up on pick number six. Why would Brady want to go play for the Raiders in the Chiefs division with no deep threat? Now, sure, the Raiders could draft a receiver. Yep. I bet you Sean's got
that's
a receiver.
That's correct. CD Lamb going after the Raiders.
He's got it covered.
But come on. Why would he want to go deal with Gruden? And do you see it?
Well, I see it maybe more than him coming to Tampa, and that's been linked, and I don't see it. I mean, yeah, they've got the best wide receiver tandem in football
that Brady thinks that we're going to be close enough as a football
team. But I don't
think
Brady looks at the Bucs as being a team that can go deep into the playoffs.
You think he looks at the Raiders that way?
There's a lot of comparisons with Brady and Montana and who the GOAT is. Brady is a very he has a chip on his shoulder still. If you haven't watched the Brady six, it's a fantastic thing to watch where the six quarterbacks that were drafted Brady.
Was Marsha in it?
Yes, no. And Brady still contacts those guys, whether they're selling insurance or working at Walmart. He makes sure they know that he's that he's still number one in that draft. I mean, that's what kind of competitive age.
And he still won't talk about it. He refused to talk.
Is that Drunken Miller?
No, it wasn't Drunken Miller. I can't remember some – Italian dude from where did Raheem go to college?
Hofstra.
Hofstra. Some guy from Hofstra.
Oh yeah,
Italian
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. That's
You're
right.
absolutely
that's
right. That was George Seifert, right? drafted him.
Giovanni somebody?
Yeah, Giovanni, yeah.
That's right.
And to this day, he refuses to talk about it. He's a sheep farmer out west.
Get him back on track, Steven.
But let me finish my point about Tom Brady. If Tom Brady wants to establish himself as the GOAT, go to the losingest franchise in the history of modern sports and take him to a Super Bowl.
I'll say this and I'll say it again.
I got my hand up.
Wherever he goes, it's going to have something to do with his wife's business. And that's why I say Miami. I know they probably won't take him, but if you had to throw it out there, all bets are even where he would go. Don't even factor in football. It'd be Los Angeles, Las Vegas, or Miami.
You're right. Because of his wife. He comes to Tampa and he wins a Super Bowl in Tampa. He would there'd be no compare. No one would ever talk about him not being the greatest.
Oh no,
ever.
I'm looking at it from a business standpoint.
And I think he's leaving the Patriots to leave the Bill Belichick behind and saying it's not the coach, it's the quarterback.
I'm just looking at it strictly from business, not even football really, just strictly business.
Well, I agree with the ego end of it. A lot of this is obviously ego because he doesn't have anything left to prove. And I think one thing that doesn't get spoken about a lot is that he's 3,000 yards behind Drew Brees for the all-time passing lead. And I think I would bet you Brady wants that. And so what Brees does, I think, might be a factor. And I don't know why he would care about his wife's situation necessarily if he's only going to play one more year. Well, one more year.
You know, it seems clear to me.
I don't know if they would even relocate.
L.A. would be a good place for him if he went to the Chargers. L.A. would be a great place for her business. They have two terrific starting wide receivers.
She may want to become an actress.
Yes, and they have Hunter Henry, and they have two really terrific wide receivers.
All right, number six.
Number six is where we're just talking about the Chargers. So I think what the Chargers do is they come up, and they're going to get a quarterback. They're going to go for the Jordan Love out of Utah State, QB. At six. And I'll tell you why. This is the Patrick Mahomes effect. Every team that missed on Patrick Mahomes is saying, how do we miss a guy with this strong-armed, athletic ability, can make every throw on the field? This guy, I don't know if you watched him at the Senior Bowl, he made a throw that was like at least 50 yards in the air, and it looked like it was from his elbow to his hand. He didn't even fully extend because he was getting a pass rush at his knees, so he kind of bent backwards, and he just did a flick, and the ball went 50 yards on a rope. That's the Patrick Mahomes effect. Whether this guy's Patrick Mahomes or not, he's going to be drafted just
because
of it.
Sounds like Dan Marino, too.
Isn't that a mistake? Same mentality as, you know, we'll draft a quarterback in the sixth round. Look at what Brady did. That Mahomes is just a freak.
Well, I think what you're going to see at the draft combine, you're going to see Jordan Love have very similar statistics to Patrick Mahomes. I think they're going to be very similar in all of the athletic testing. And I think when the NFL, when they see this kid's arm in person, they're going to get enamored. And they're going to go, this guy can make throws from different angles, and he can move around. He throws a lot of interceptions, and I will tell you the reason why is the Jameis Winston.
Like that.
It's the Jameis Winston thing all over again. You grow up with this powerful arm. You believe that you can make every throw, even if it's late. And Jordan Love has the same mentality. He tries to make every throw. He won't give up on a play. He won't throw the ball away. That's what I hate about the quarterback.
All right, number seven.
So number seven is going to be where the Detroit Lions traded with the Carolina Panthers. And I think
Carolina's spot.
Right. And I think the Lions go with the best defensive tackle in the draft. I think they go Derrick Brown. Brown is out of Auburn. Lee and I had this long conversation about Derrick Brown because some people said he was going to fall. This guy's not falling. This guy's the closest thing to Aaron Donald that we've had in the draft in a long time. This guy has
That's high cotton.
This guy is phenomenal. He's got a quick first step for a tackle. I think he's gonna be an interior defensive lineman that's going to get that 8 to 10 sack range. And I think he's going to be strong in the running game. I think he's going to require double teams. They're going to have to chip him on third down because I think he's going to be a beast.
So we get to face him. The Bucs play the NFC North next year. So we'll get to see him. All right, Ira, any thoughts here so far? Do you like the way this draft is going? And are you concerned that Ryan Fitzpatrick will teach Justin Herbert how to throw interceptions?
I can't wait to get to number 14 because I know he's got something up his sleeve over here. You know what? That defensive tackle that Sean Sullivan's just been talking about, he sure would look good at one buck place, especially if Sue gets
Well, we had our
jettisoned.
Chance to draft Aaron Donald. We didn't do it. So there's that. And this Patrick Mahomes effect, is there an Ira Kaufman effect? Lee, have you ever seen an Ira Kaufman effect?
Never duplicated. People are trying, but can't be duplicated. By the way, am I out of the top 50? You haven't mentioned anything
I haven't
while.
Looked in about a week.
Okay, just wondering.
All right, Sean, let's head back to you. We are up to number
eight with Arizona. So I have Arizona taking Tristan Wirfs. He's the tackle out of Iowa. He plays both sides. Play the right and left tackle. Kyler Murray needs that kind of stability on the offensive line. I think if you saw any Arizona games last year, I actually watched three, possibly four games, full games, because I wanted to see. I'm sorry?
Why?
Oh, fun stuff.
Murray's I was fun. Really interested in two things. One, Kyler Murray, if we're going to have this conversation, I was interested in Kyler Murray because I was wondering how his size was going to work in the NFL because he's the shortest, you know, as he's one of the shortest quarterbacks ever to play and start in an NFL game. And then the Arizona coach runs an offense that's very similar to what Kyler Murray did.
Kingsbury, yeah.
Yeah, at Oklahoma. Yeah, Kingsbury. Usually you don't see fired college coaches getting NFL head coaching jobs.
I'd say Murray had himself a very good rookie season. Real
quick, I do think he had a terrific season. And I want to tell you the second point was they traded a six-round draft pick for an Alabama running back from Miami, Kenyon Drake. That got the second highest-paid running back in the NFL benched. And this six-round guy that they got, who I loved Kenyon Drake coming out, and he went to it was drafted by the Dolphins. And I believe he put up over 100 yards from scrimmage on every game he played in, and he put 158 rushing yards, and he scored six touchdowns. I think he had a tremendous time with Arizona. But those were the two players I was interested in.
Real quick one. You're talking about your surprise that Kingsbury got a job in the NFL, even though he failed in college.
Yes.
You know what Parcells' record in college is, don't you?
Actually, I don't.
Losing record. NFL and college is almost two different games, almost.
That's weird because in his autobiography, he doesn't really talk about his losing record in college.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not surprised.
It's kind of like Ira during the Roy Cummings years. He omitted it from his biography. All right, now
stay classy, Steve.
all right, now I definitely recommend anybody watch the Kyler Murray games against the 49ers. Those two games are fun. Fun to watch him with that top defense and trying to dissect it and run it and all that.
Didn't he throw three touchdowns against the Bucks? Or am I wrong about that?
Not wrong. No,
I thought he played pretty well.
He made the Pro Bowl. Look, guy made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, so he's a good quarterback.
He's definitely a good player. All right, Sean, we're going to move over to pick number 9.
Jacksonville. Yes. And
Jags.
Who did the Jacksonville Jaguars trade, you know, in this past season that was projected as Jalen Ramsey is one of the best possible corners? I believe that they're going to go back and they're going to get the
best. Thanks, Tom Coughlin.
Who's not there. I think they go with the best corner in the draft, and that's I always mispronounce this gentleman's name, but it's Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State. I think that he is a game changer. I think he's the number one corner. He plays with swag. I think he's he's like a Ramsey clone, and I think you're going to see Jacksonville dive back in, fix that defensive back position.
Hope he doesn't have the Ramsey attitude, Sean. You know, I like the swagger.
You know, when you read all the pros and cons about him, his attitude isn't anywhere reflected in there. And I thought everything I saw in him, but he was a terrific teammate at Ohio State. So I think that prima donna, you know, thing that comes with the top wide receivers and corners, I think he has the swag, but I think he's leaving it. I think he's a little bit more professional than some of the other guys coming out.
Now, you got to understand, Ira is close. He's become close the last couple of years with Doug Marrone. They had this very intimate time, and they're buddies now. And Marrone was spared, which I think was the right thing to do. You know, so Ira's sensitive.
Ira's also tight with his predecessor, too.
They, you know,
God forbid.
They got a lot of issues. Jacksonville's got a lot of issues. They don't know what to do with Fournette.
Jacksonville,
who I think is overrated.
Well, Fournette, who knows how many more years Fournette has, but I'm going to tell you that I think that Jacksonville might be the worst run organization in football.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, and Calais Campbell's on the back end of his career.
And I thought that before they decided to play two home games in London.
Aren't they rotten in the cap?
Did you know they signed up for that?
Yeah.
This guy literally said, I'm going to take two home games for my fan base.
You're basically saying we can't support an NFL franchise in Jacksonville. That's what you're telling the fans.
Well,
he is.
You can't argue with Shad Khan because he's basically taking two games away while dumping a ton of money. It would be like if Jeff Vinnick, take away the championships, but it'd be like if Vinnick said, we're playing four games in
Finland.
In Mexico. Nobody would argue with it because Finland, because the guy is dumping all the money into downtown. So it's just business. I don't fault the guy at all. And Jacksonville's a tiny market. It's smaller than Buffalo.
It's still crappy for the fans. Real.
Well, you know, some fans who have season tickets, and because I was reading into some of the
Jacksonville. So they'll reduce the season tickets by 25%.
Cuts the price of the season ticket block.
Still, you know? I mean, come on.
I mean, some
people live for those home games. You take two away, I mean, that's you know. Oh, just
I
move.
I hear you. All right,
Sean. That's, to me, that's no different than that nonsense that Stu Sternberg's trying to float. You know, play half his games over on foreign soil and half the games in St. Pete.
Well, he wants to do it for 10 years. So, Sage, and I didn't gloss, so Sean, I don't know if anybody caught your backhanded sarcasm. I know I did. On the Kenyon Drake for a 6th round
pick.
Yeah,
I did.
And now he's a guy the Bucks could actually be signing in free agency when they could have had him last year.
I thought he was going to have an Auburn blast. Hint, hint.
You know what Sullivan's very good at?
And selling cars. And you got to keep.
No, besides that, he's very good at following the dominoes. And the Bucks make a mistake in 2014 on that guy. So 2 years later, they got to make up for that mistake in free agency. And they overpay that guy, and he's not that good. You're very good at that, Sean.
Hello, JPP.
You try to keep things in a full context.
Yeah, I call that the Donald Penn effect.
Lovie Smith would be the best.
And you're making up for bad. You're trying to make up for bad drafts in free agency. It doesn't work.
That's what it is.
That's the Bucks.
That's what we do every year. We don't draft an edge rusher, and then we have to pay mediocre edge rushers top money. We have to pay tackles top money to come here and play. And that's a tough thing.
Well, you know, we drafted Donovan Smith, and he was just fine as a rookie. Didn't even need all these years that Arian says to adjust. The guy was punishing running game. Passing game was fine. All right.
He's solid. You know, he's been a solid player for
us. Yeah, he's okay last year.
Ian Beckles turned around on Donovan Smith. Ian Beckles officially turned around his stance on Donovan Smith after last year, which that says a lot.
But Ian Beckles turned around his stance because he said, who are you going to get that's better? Well, who can the Bucks get that's better right now?
We are in a draft.
That's the DeKemper argument on Jameis Winston.
Right, but
who are you going to get?
We're in an evaluation / mock draft podcast. That's what it's all about, comparing who you got. So you know what? If Smith is a hair above average, great. We have bigger problems.
Can Sean remind our listening audience how many pass rushers the Bucks have drafted since Lovie Smith came on board?
2.
How many kickers have they drafted in the same period?
2.
Thank you.
Well, Devin White's a pass rusher.
So I wish they could see his face when he said that. I wish the listeners could see him when he said
that. You know what the low line, like the lowest...
the low life.
The hardest part of like loving the draft and seeing the players, and I've had a lot of low points in being a Bucks fan. There's a lot of them.
Last spring.
I got one for you that's one of those. And we drafted Matt Gay last year, and nothing against Matt Gay. We need him to make kicks. We probably lost 4 football games last year because of Matt Gay, but that's a whole other conversation.
I got blame Jameis.
There's four.
Yeah. Hashtag blame Jameis.
Yeah, we can talk about that whenever you want.
I can break it down
for you. We lost 4 games because of Matt Gay.
All right, go ahead.
When the pick came up, Matt Gay, I believe he played at Utah, right?
Yeah.
It said Matt Gay, kicker, Utah, 5th round. And then I saw this little icon on the right-hand side, and it said, the highest drafted kicker since who do you think?
Roberto Aguayo.
Roberto Aguayo. And both of them are from my team.
And you shut the television off.
Oh, he was so bummed out last year. I shared his disgust. I actually was wondering if I had to call authorities to help save him.
Who else could have that? Oh, they drafted Matt Gay out of Utah. Oh, great. He's the highest drafted kicker since... Oh, wait. The Bucks took another kicker.
I'm not going to say his name. He doesn't cover the Bucks, but he was there at the media room.
That was a low point.
He was there. He likes media hearsay. This guy doesn't cover the Bucks, but he came in to do a special story on the Bucks that Saturday when he kicked Gay. This dude laughed almost the rest of the day. Like, it'd be quiet. It'd be quiet for 20 minutes. All of a sudden, he'd bust out laughing. They drafted another kicker.
It's one thing we've learned about the NFL. Guys.
Who else drafts kickers?
It's undeniable.
And no pass rushers.
They just sign them.
Yeah, and
no pass
rushers.
People don't draft kickers, and they sign them, and they're good kickers.
This is what
happens all the time.
I want to talk to Jason Light about it because I remember a press conference where Jason Light said that I don't value 5th and 6th round picks. And maybe you guys can enlighten me if you remember that press conference, but he was just saying those are basically throwaway picks. It's very hard to hit on these 5th and 6th round draft picks. But every year, all I do is see teams hit on offensive guard, backup guards, or swing tackles, or kick returners.
Contributors.
When are we going to get a kick returner, guys? I mean, it's just
nonstop. Well, we can sit here all afternoon about that.
They don't believe in it.
We move everyone to safety.
For some reason, they don't believe in it. In my mind, if you have a position, you want the best possible person in that position.
There's no worthless position. I don't want you to be surprised if Matt Gay is moved to safety in the offseason. I just don't want you to be surprised by it.
All right, what number are you up to?
We're on number 10, Cleveland. The Browns are going to go defense because that's what they do, and And the Browns really like these athletes that don't have a position on defense. I mean, I could give you many examples.
You mean hybrid types?
Yeah, these hybrid. They love them. Remember, they drafted Mingo, who was a hybrid.
You mean like Mike Edwards?
Yes, like Mike Edwards. Mike Edwards
Steve,
is going
to
be
you're always bringing it back down to one buck place.
So before I get onto this pick, you had Mike Edwards, and then you had the kid that we drafted out of Auburn the year before. Wasn't he at Auburn? The one that doesn't play
MJ
at
Stewart?
All? MJ Stewart?
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. That's correct. I'm sorry. So another guy that didn't have a position. We draft players to move them to positions instead of just drafting the position. When there's safeties on the board, we'll draft a corner to move to safety when you could just draft it as safety who's
like
played
Ryan
it his
Smith.
Whole life.
All
yeah.
right, so number 10.
Hold on. Yeah, I must interject. Speaking of Sean Sullivan's point, and it goes right to it. The phrase I never want to hear again at one buck place, because it means nothing, and it's a disaster. Cross-train. Shut the hell up.
Cross-train.
You know when you say cross-train? When the cornerback can't play cornerback. You're training him to be a safety. Shut the hell up and draft the guy in his yeah. right position.
You know, I have,
sorry, Sean.
As a Bucs fan, Ira, I'm going like, don't you have to be good at one position before you cross-train him to another position?
You know, wait, that's a horrible phrase.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of it. And I know Cutter often used it about the offensive line. Evan Dietrich Smith, is he out of football? Did he play last year?
Evan Smith, out of football. All that time, snaps, valuable snaps last summer. Could have gone to somebody else. Wasted on Smith.
No, I get it. Like when we draft a player and we're doing this cross thing, it's like if you didn't like him at safety, wait till you see him at corner.
Real quick, look at all the guys the Bucks.
Ryan Smith.
How many teams have three guys start for them in 2018 and the next year we're out of football? Bucks had three starters. Three freaking starters.
Happens all the time at one. Anyway, who's this hybrid for Cleveland?
Isaiah Simmons. Right, so he's out of Clemson, cross between a safety and a linebacker. So he plays the money backer position.
A little Mark Barron-ish?
No. Mark Barron couldn't play safety, so Mark Barron was a linebacker.
Drafted as a safety.
Well, you want to have the Derek Brooks conversation? They tried to draft Derek Brooks as a safety. The guy was a linebacker the whole time. Mark Barron was a linebacker.
Okay.
So Isaiah Simmons is he's a pass rusher, basically, who's going to play in like a 3-4. He's going to play in like the edge. But he can also cover tight ends and running backs out if you want to have him off the ball. But if you want to have him rushing the passer, this guy, you just got to get him on the field.
So he'll jump in there with Olivier Vernon, Miles Garrett.
Yes.
They'll get their guy. All right, what's number 11?
11 is the New York Jets, okay? So I almost kind of cross them off. I don't ever do any type of mock drafting for the Jets or do anything because
– Lamb Jones?
I have no
– Another terribly run organization.
I have no idea what they're doing, right? So – I'm going to go ahead and do the smart thing for them and give them Andrew Thomas. He's the offensive tackle out of Georgia. I don't think the Jets have had an offensive line since Blair Thomas was running for them out of Penn State. I don't know if that goes back, I don't know, 25
no,
years.
They had Ferguson and the other guy. Yeah,
who was the
Mangold.
Center? Mangold.
So two. You're giving me two out of the last 25 years. That's what you're doing. All right, awesome. All right, that sounds like
that's like the Bucks and pass
after
rusher.
After this, we're going to talk politics because you guys are be perfect for that.
Sean,
you give
right,
me two
right
players.
Tackle or left tackle?
Okay, so Andrew Thomas is considered. He's not a right tackle. He's a left tackle. Okay, so he's considered to be one of the top guys. He played at the SEC. He played he played in basically minor league football. Because minor league professional
it's
football.
Better than
the SEC
XFL.
Is basically, everybody goes, well, you don't have a minor league for football. You do. It's the SEC. These guys are playing at a high level. They're playing against NFL players.
And they always run the ball well. Joe.
Yeah, Andrew Thomas is a grader. He's going to be terrific. Size-wise, he's massive. He's another guy. But I think the Jets have got to address the offensive line at some point, right? They have to do something.
Makes sense. Like you said, you don't know what
they're
going to
do. Le'Veon Bell can't even run for the Jets.
Well, now he's gone.
Well,
he's
I think
gone,
it's
could
more
be.
Than
could be.
Well,
head
I mean,
heart.
I mean, he gets hit behind the backfield more than our running backs do.
Yeah,
more than Ronald Jones in 2018.
Yeah, I was going to go with the Ronald Jones thing. Yeah, Ronald Jones, when they were like, we shouldn't talk about yards after contact with Ronald Jones. We should talk about like if he gets hit before he gets the ball from Jameis Winston. Or that's how we should be measuring how poor Rojo.
All right, after the Jets, we got number 12.
That is the Raiders. CeeDee Lamb,
Oklahoma. Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, if anybody was born to wear the Raiders outfit, right? Is it a uniform? Is it not
Antoine Randall's brother?
Can you not see him in a Raiders? I mean, he fits right in with all of the rest of the Raiders receivers that I just wish Al was.
Oh, like Clef Branch?
You mean mean he's a speed freak that may not be able to catch the ball?
No,
he's terrific.
He's, yeah.
But, I mean, he's like the Dayward Hayward's Bay. Remember where they drafted
him on
speed?
Well, those guys were busts.
Yeah, no. And then they went to – no, I wasn't talking about him being a bust. I was just talking about he fits like the Raider mold. Like, when you're looking at CeeDee Lamb on film, you just see a Raider. You know how you see – sometimes you associate
– like Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
The best thing I could say –
I still – Amari Cooper still doesn't look like a cowboy to me. Like, it's just strange.
Yeah, it looks funny. Looks funny.
The best thing I can say about CeeDee Lamb, he's an excellent receiver. Don't get me wrong.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, the best thing about him is he's sort of like Chris Godwin. He's physical. He breaks tackles.
He does break
tackles.
He's
very good at
and
that.
And he pinpoints the ball, right? Which the only thing I pay attention to with a receiver is one is his routes, and the second, does he pinpoint the ball? Does he catch the ball at the end of the ball where the corner is, or does he try to catch it with his body? When you watch CeeDee Lamb, he does this. He literally puts his hand out away from his body, snags the ball out of the air because he was able to catch that way and then make a physical move after the catch.
Now, Ira, Dante Dye.
Very special. Very special.
I really like him.
Dante Dye was more of a body catcher kind of guy when he caught it. But, Ira, now look, you're close with John Gruden.
You said Dante. I thought you were talking about my old Boston Terrier.
No.
Well, he was a dog, too.
He was a dog, too. You got John Gruden to talk about my birthday. You got him to do a little soundbite.
All right, now listen. Sean's got a major pick here, big-time wide receiver on the board, going to Gruden. Do you agree that the Raiders are going to go that way? This is a very deep draft for wide receivers. I don't know if Mike Mayock's going to...
Sean hasn't mentioned, I think, is he's going to have some help because they got a heck of a tight end over there that Chucky's discovered. I believe a guy named Waller.
Yep.
Who's darn good.
He is very
good. They've taken some hits, the Raiders, but...
Tell me who the Raiders are going to throw to. Tell me who they're going to throw to.
On the flanks. Yeah, they got problems.
They have problems. They can't run Gruden's offense.
It's Derek Carr or not Derek Carr.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter who's throwing the ball.
Well, that's why they wanted Antonio Brown.
He needs a playmaker at wide receiver. He traded away Amari Cooper. He didn't replace him. He's going to replace him this year. I think he's going with CeeDee Lamb. And I think he wants a playmaker to score touchdowns. This guy can score touchdowns.
Quick related question to CeeDee Lamb. It's Raiders. There's rumors Chucky's going to get he's always infatuated to get into the court, get rid of Derek Carr. But I've always believed, now, I'm a Jameis guy. So put that aside. I think if Derek Carr is available, I would not be surprised. I mean, he's proven. And that's what Aaron's going
to
be looking for.
You'd have to trade for Derek Carr and his
contract. Yeah.
And it's
a very tradable contract. All the sack people say he's – but anyway.
I mean, if they cut him, would we look at him? I just don't think you trade draft picks for Derek Carr.
Well, aside from the worthiness or not, that's not the question I'm asking. What I'm asking is Bucks fans say, he can't throw downfield. Well, number one, I sure as hell saw him throw downfield when he lit up the Bucks for 500-plus yards.
He can absolutely throw down the field.
That's number one. Number two, maybe one reason why he's not throwing downfield is the reason why they're picking
CeeDee
Lamb.
He has no receivers.
Yes.
You traded away his only target, and then his second and third and fourth targets were journeymen that they signed off the street.
I watched about four Raiders games this year, four or five, and the guy, Williams, is it? I forget his first name.
Yes, I don't remember his first name. I can look it up.
Williams, who was out there as the number one receiver. I felt bad.
Tyrell Williams.
Good football player, but he's a number two, and he's out there trying to play number one. It just was sad.
Did you see the game against the Jets? They were terrible, the Raiders. That was a horrible
performance. Yeah, so they got blown out.
Absolutely terrible. Yeah. And Carr was getting killed. They were killing him.
They sort of rolled over. All right, Ira, but I got to ask you this, and this I think is important about Derek Carr potentially being a Bucs quarterback. I've heard you guys talk about it on the podcast. And a few times I found myself screaming at this.
As you do.
No. I have no problem with Derek Carr. But what I wanted to scream was, guys, is John Gruden, would he ever consider trading a potential starting quarterback to the Buccaneers? I think he'd rather die than give the Glazers a guy who might lead them to the promised land without him. I don't think he would even do it.
I don't think Chucky looks at Derek Carr like that. That he's going to lead the Bucs to.
But I think
if he's turning his back on Derek Carr.
He talks really high about Jameis, but do you really think that he would sign Jameis to a $30 million or $35 million a year
Mayock
contract?
Wouldn't.
I don't think Gruden could live with the interceptions. I really don't.
But do you think his ego would allow him to trade a quarterback that could make people say, Gruden,
Steve,
give
I
up
think you're right. I think I that know. He doesn't. He would not want to see us do well.
If Maya could convince him it's a good deal for the franchise,
is Derek Carr really going to be that much of an upgrade over Jameis, where I don't have to give up draft picks to sign?
And he's under contract. That's a problem.
Look, Arians has to believe that this guy is somehow better than everybody.
Steven, I'm calling him out right now. Uh-oh. Calling out Sean Sullivan. Are you sure you're not mischaracterizing what Jason Light said about fifth and sixth round picks?
No, I asked
I don't
you
think
guys
he
to,
would ever say that.
I wanted to ask you guys to back me up on this because I was trying to remember the press conference because, as you know, lots of stuff goes in this head. I don't know if it's all correct.
We got to be fair to Jason Light on this podcast.
Stuff. That's what I said. I said, you guys, if you remember the conversation, they were talking about trading a draft pick, and Jason Light was talking about, well, I don't want to... With the second and third round picks, when it came up that we didn't trade for Clowney, we didn't trade for D Ford, he was like, you can't give away those picks. And then when the picks came up for some of the lower picks, like the sixth and seventh were rounds, he said, I feel way more comfortable, you know, trading a sixth or seventh round pick because those are basically, they have a long shot of making our team. They're more practice squad players, and they're kind of throwaway picks.
I don't know if he would use that term.
He felt like the first three rounds,
premium picks,
was the most important part of this. And you know what? We'll do research next time you guys call me out on it.
Well, but no, I'm not.
I'm almost positive that he talked about those that he was not impressed with those low picks.
Well, certainly third has more value than a sixth round pick. Nobody can argue that. But the phrase throwaway pick, I don't think Light would ever say that.
I don't recall him saying that, but you know what? I don't recall a hell of a lot of things. I don't recall what I had for breakfast yesterday morning. But
I do. It was two pizza pies.
It was a beet salad.
In theory, I agree with Jason Light. I mean, if you're going to make a trade, for example, a Clowney, if they would have done that, or Dee Ford, yeah, you trade a draft pick for a proven guy.
Speaking of food, when's Big Storm Brewery coming to town at Bill Curry Ford?
March 30th.
March 30th. Beautiful.
Yes. Yep, March food 30th. Can't wait.
And their famous coffee, but that's in the story for another day.
Please check out Bill Curry Ford's Twitter, the renderings of your new cafe.
The artist renderings,
I do recall Jason saying something to that effect. Now, of course, I recall him saying to me privately about throwaway picks and using that terminology and that inference. But all these GMs look at the percentage of hits. I can't say anything's a throwaway pick. I think it's the wrong way to look at it. But yeah,
me too.
One of those throwaway picks.
Me too,
picks,
because
right.
Depth comes from those
if
picks.
If you're good, you hit them. If you're not good, you don't. You know, it's just like everybody says, half the first round pans out. Okay, well, the good GMs hit two-thirds of
That's
the first
right.
round, and the bad ones hit a third. So
Polian hit like eight straight first round picks 8 years in a row.
That's why
he's in the Hall of Fame.
All right, Sean, number 13.
Yeah, Indianapolis Colts, and I think they're going to be very...
again. They're drafting one pick before the Bucks again.
Yes, we're not going to miss out on
Quentin Nelson debacle. Yes,
so don't worry. The Bucks beat the Colts.
The Colts need a quarterback, right? But all the quarterbacks are gone. They're not going to. Easton's not going to be highly enough rated for the 13th overall pick. I think they wanted Love in this position. I think they're going to surprise that Love is off the board.
We all want Love in this position.
and they're not in love with Jacoby Brissett, right?
No, but he's serviceable.
Serviceable
I think,
for what?
Serviceable backup.
Serviceable to not reach for a quarterback.
No, I think Phillip Rivers is going to the Colts. So,
I agree.
And then I think...
Nice move.
Who is he throwing to?
T.Y. Hilton. He's very good.
And nothing else. But they got a terrific run. They got a good offensive line, if not a great offensive line.
They got Marlon Mack.
They have Marlon Mack, who we should have drafted out of USF.
Having a hell of a year until he got hurt last year.
I do know the Bucks were
hiring him. Unbelievable year he was having.
Which is even more frustrating.
He got drafted with one of those throwaway picks. Fantastic. And I'll tell you what, they're going to go Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama. He was considered the top wide receiver in the draft for most of last season until CeeDee Lamb really, really, really came out. But Jerry Jeudy brings so much to the table.
He's definitely better than Riggs, the other Alabama wideout.
So Ruggs, you mean?
Ruggs, yeah.
Yeah,
Ruggs.
So I'm in love with Ruggs. I can't draft a wide receiver this high if I'm the Bucks just because I'm...
You don't need one.
No, I'm just saying Ruggs is special. But, yeah, I think that he gives you a little bit of an edge over. It just depends on the offense that you're running. I think T.Y. Hilton is more the Ruggs style, and I think you get a Jerry Jeudy who's going to be a terrific route runner, a blocker, a possession receiver. He's going to be your red zone target. And then people like Hilton and Ruggs move the ball down the field. So
now these guys are not Julio Jones good, but they're good, but they're not Julio Jones, right? I mean,
well, if you look at their statistics based on their last year at Alabama, Jerry Jeudy stacks up really highly with all of the top Alabama wide receivers. Out of all the receivers, including Julio Jones, would draft Ruggs. But that's just because I like, he does so many different things. So, but Jerry Jeudy is got to be the pick here.
Here we go.
Drum roll, Stevie.
Number 14.
Number
the Buccaneers
14.
Pick presented Bill Curry Ford. In case you've been fast forwarding to the Bucks pick here.
Yeah.
Bill Curry Ford, general manager Sean Sullivan presenting the Buccaneers
Hold
pick
on.
At number 14.
Before Sean Sullivan says this, Sean, if the draft goes this way with these 13 picks.
Yes.
Or say the first 8, 9 picks. Is there any way the Bucks are going to trade up from 14 to 8 or 9 or 10 in your mind?
No.
No.
Ooh,
okay.
You don't think so?
Okay.
No.
What about your mind, Ira?
No, I think they stay put at 14. I'm waiting to see who Sean Sullivan picks. At 14.
Unless there was a kicker, I think that would be rated this high. I think we're safe that they're not going to trade up.
You mean like the best kicker in college football history? All right, go ahead. Who do we got?
All right, Sean, we're ready, baby.
Free agency is going to have an impact on this, right? So you don't sign Pierre Paul, right? I mean, there's some cryptic messages out there. Pierre Paul's not coming back. He's probably going to injure himself in the offseason somehow. He's still got two healthy legs. Maybe he can hurt those in the offseason, right? So who knows? I love Pierre Paul. I hope we re-sign him. I think he's a terrific pass rusher. I think he's motors nonstop. But I don't think we're going to re-sign him. And I think you have Sue going away at tackle. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, which is easier to get? Which is easier to get? Is it easier to get a tackle in free agency, or is it easier to get a pass rusher in free agency? And I'm going
to
tell you,
it's easier to get a tackle.
That's correct. It's easier to get a tackle. So I know where you think I was going.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to get pass rushers.
Yeah, Sue, McCoy, Grady Jarrett, all these guys,
free agents.
So I'm going to go with Chase on. The edge rusher at LSU.
Nice.
So, again.
Guy is so quick.
He's super young.
Tell me about
that. By the way. So
we don't want another Daquan Bowers over here.
Yeah, so no.
This guy's Daquan quick
Bowers,
as can be.
Daquan Bowers should have never passed our doctors. He should have never been drafted. His knee was done in college. But anyway, that's a whole nother.
But he could strum a guitar.
So best first step in college football. Chaseon, best explosive first step. So
explosive.
So scouts talk about his hand technique, talk about how many edge rushers. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is, can he bend? Because right now,
like Shaq Barrett.
I love
bend.
Shaq Barrett. Yeah. Lee asked me, do you think he's a bust? I said that the guy that bends like that, it's not a bust.
They also said the same thing about Noah Spence.
I never said anything about Noah Spence.
You didn't, but the crowd at One Buck, they called him Gumby.
Shaq Barrett's angles are unbelievable, the way he twists his body.
We played him in a 4-3.
What's this guy's size over there?
And then Jason Light comes out and goes, yeah, we knew he was a better fit for the 3-4, but we drafted him anyway.
That should have gotten Light fired right there.
I mean, are you kidding me with that?
Sean, what's his size?
All right, so we're looking at his size. Let me pull up his stats, right? So 6'4", 250 pounds. He is a run stopper and a pass rusher, right? So it's very difficult to get both. He sets the edge. He'd be perfect in our defense right now with Bowles. So he immediately takes Pierre Paul's spot. What I love about him, too, is he's a sophomore. He was born in 99. I mean, if you can believe that. So you're going to get the best years of this kid's life as a pass rusher. You're going to have control over him for 5 years. I think this guy comes in.
It's kind of like you in 1972, Ira.
I think
Steve, you don't say much, but you get right to the point.
I think he comes in and immediately makes a massive impact, like a Bosa edge
rusher. Do you draft him with or without JPP?
I draft him regardless.
Regardless.
Yeah, because if you have JPP on one side, you got Shaq Barrett on the other. I don't think JPP is coming back, and if he does, I don't think it hurts you to add this. And I think the Bucks are going to sign.
That's the Kemper theory.
The Bucks are going to sign. I read
on defensive line. Rotate.
I read on Joe Bucks Fan today that Leonard Williams is liked by Todd Bowles, and I've seen that on several occasions. I think he's going to be available in the offseason. I think that he has been misused. He's playing nose for the Jets.
He's young. I love that youth.
26?
He's playing out of position for the Jets, and I think that he would play. He'd be perfect to play the three technique for the Bucks. You put him next to Villa.
You like this LSU kid better than any defensive tackle that's still on the board?
All right, so I do, because if Derek Brown,
Kinlaw, if a lot of people
about Kinlaw.
Listen, there's always Kinlaws out there when they have a top Senior Bowl event, and they play well, and everybody goes, look at this physicality, look at all this, look at that. My only thing about him, and I like him, is the fact that I think you would see it on tape. You don't wait to the, you know, you don't wait for a Senior Bowl or for an NFL
especially
combine.
Especially in the SEC.
Right. This guy is absolutely.
Now we're talking about Chasen now.
Yeah, we were talking about, they brought up Kinlaw.
Okay, yeah.
So what I'm saying is I like Kinlaw, but I think that it's easier to get a Kinlaw versus a Chasen.
Because you think, yeah, he should have shown more during the regular season than he just did at the,
right,
Senior Bowl.
Now, if it was Derek Brown versus Chasen, I would draft Derek Brown.
All right, I got an important question for you. Now, this is, I want you.
You can afford the Mustang.
I want the raw answer from Sean Sullivan. This is an important question for the history of the Buccaneers. Chasen, better than Josh Allen or not?
I like him much better than Josh Allen.
So did the Bucs then not make a mistake by not taking Josh Allen last year?
I didn't want him to draft Josh Allen last year.
Who'd you want last year?
Brian Burns.
Is he better than Burns?
To be determined.
They are similar. As far as their first step, I'll bet you they're going to score. I bet you when we talk next time after the draft, I bet you you'll see that Chasen's numbers were very close to Burns' first step. But Chasen's stronger and has more meat on his bones right now than
Brian
Burns.
Better against the run than Burns, right?
Yeah, well, Burns is a good run defender, great pass rusher. He had 4 pass rushing moves in college, right? Chasen sets the edge as a physical run stopper who is absolutely explosive off the ball.
He's a little undersized, Sean. 250.
Chasen?
Put him in an NFL weight room and watch.
What is he, 20 years old? I think you're going to see him in the offseason. Maybe he puts on 5, 8 pounds of muscle.
Was he clearly the defensive leader of
LSU?
Team?
There's no question. And they had Delpit and they had Fulton. And I'm going to tell you, in that national championship game, and I'm going to tell you everything runs through Chasen. I think that he's an impact pass rusher. I think he immediately upgrades the Bucs. And as much as I would want them to draft an offensive tackle, you cannot draft a right tackle at 14. I've seen all these drafts where the Bucs are drafting a tackle at 14. I'm like, the only way you draft a tackle at 14 is if you're doing something with Donovan Smith. You're not going to draft a right tackle at 14.
Makes a good point, Steve.
And then not only that, the draft is very deep at tackle. So that second round, I think you're going to see some tackles falling in that second round.
But you're not going to get a defensive end like
no
this.
No way. I think you go Chasen. I think you go offensive tackle in the second round. And then I think you're open to the best available player after that.
All right, Sean. We appreciate so much you doing this. We had a lot of fun for us. But, of course, just good knowledge, good talk, good fodder. Great stuff, and we'll get back and do another mock draft as we get closer, or just dive into the draft with you. We got plenty of time for that. Free agency is not even here yet. But Sean, before we kick you out of here and then talk behind your back, we have one important question. There's a lot of Ford dealers around the Tampa Bay area. People see them. They hear the names here and there. Why Bill Curry Ford?
Again, it's the relationships you make with people. Everyone has good prices. Everyone has good product. Everyone has inventory. If I see one more car commercial with the drone flying over, look at all of our inventory. Well, customers know you have inventory, right? They don't expect you to have 4 cars in the lot when they come to look at you, right? And we have the lowest prices. No, you don't, right? So everybody sells the cars for basically the same, okay? So we all buy them for the same. There are certain people who advertise better, spend more money advertising, yes. But at the end of the day, it's about relationships. You buy cars from people that you like. That's it. Where else in the world do you sit down for 30 minutes and then agree to spend $70,000 or $60,000 with a guy you just met? You know, unless you're in politics. It doesn't really happen that way.
And then you go back to the same guy for your next vehicle.
You do.
Or you go home and say, why did I spend 70 grand? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That's what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create an identity for the store. We have a lifetime warranty, right? So you can depend on us. We have some new commercials coming out that are not based on hooks and what we're giving you for your trade and all this. They're based on just relationships and building it, because at the end of the day, the most important thing about the car business is answering someone's phone call. It's not the time that they're taking delivery. It's the most important. The most important time is after they take delivery. And if we can figure that out as a business, you know, the car business will get a better reputation as a whole. If we can figure out how to do that one thing, when that phone rings after the sale, you pick it up. Because that's when they truly need you. And if we can get through and we can train our staff to do that correctly, which is what I work on daily here, which is why I'm doing a Big Storm Brewery. I want a place where customers can come in and put their laptop down, pull up Joe Bucks Fan, right, and read Joe Bucks Fan and leave their comments, right, while they're eating a Big Storm sandwich or hamburger and drinking Big Storm coffee. And then while their car is being serviced directly behind them and having the same service advisor that they've had since they bought the car and having the same salesperson to be in contact with and then being able to stop and talk football with me through the showroom, that's what I think is more important than anything else.
How proud are you of your and you do a lot of surveys, Sean, in your business. First of all, I know you pay a lot of attention to the questionnaires. How proud are you about your return business? People spreading the word within their own family, or some guy 5 years later wants to trade his car in. The same customers, the same faces.
Well, that's easy, Ira. My business doesn't exist without getting repeat business. It just doesn't. You know, the days of being able to sell someone one car at one time and try to take their head off and make all this money, it doesn't make any sense. People know what they want to pay for a car. They know what their interest rates are. They know what their car is worth. And I think at the end, what they really want is just someone not to give them a hassle. They just want to come in and look at a car, see a smile, get a cup of coffee, talk about a couple of things on the financing side and say, hey, listen, this is what my car is worth. This is what I want to pay for yours. And then the deal comes together and then they go home happy.
All right. Well, that means you can start shopping right now at BillCurryFord.com or they will pick up the phone. Right here at Bill Curry Ford, you can always ask for Sean, and he will legitimately give you that personal touch.
Hey, I went through the concierge service. I went through the whole thing.
We know how much you love your Ford Escape.
But, I mean, the whole process was very easy. It was very easy.
Yeah, no, I know. And the energy in this dealership is fantastic. You come in. I've been to car dealerships, you know, through my life. You got the guys looking at the floor, and they're standing there waiting to accost you, and nobody's friendly. Yeah.
Hanging out in front of the place.
Totally different energy here at Bill Curry Ford. You feel like you can talk to anybody and just that it's just right, and it really is, and I know it's getting even better. So, Sean, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for the draft.
Thanks, Steve. I want to share one story with you real quick that's brief, and it goes with what Ira was saying. My father was Air Force Recon. He was, you know, just like everyone else, you want to have a father that you're proud of. I was extremely proud of my dad. I lost him a long time ago, but I still think about him daily. When I got here as general manager, I put the first responder retired veterans parking spaces right out front. If you come to Bill Curry Ford and you pull in, you'll have handicap parking on your left, and right to the right of it, right up front by the front door, is only for veterans and active military personnel. And I've added first responders, and I had a customer come in who had a handicap tag, who was injured during their service, could have parked in the handicap, but decided to park in the veterans parking, and parked in that and came in and then asked me by name, came in and said, I want to speak to whoever runs this place, right? So I'm like, oh my gosh, what's this, right?
So I'm gonna get chewed out.
Yeah, who knows? You know, you never know in this business, right? So I go out there, and there's this gentleman, and he looks angry. I go up and I was like, hi, sir, I'm Sean Sullivan. How can I help you? And he's not angry. He had that face where he was trying to stop from crying.
Wow.
Where he was fighting off
he
was emotional about the parking spot. And he's
just
like,
just a parking spot.
Just a parking spot. He's like, in all of the years, no one has ever decided to put a veteran up by the front door. And, you know, my dad would have liked it.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Right.
That's wonderful.
So the guy, and he ended up buying a car from us. But that's when you ask me what's the difference.
That's one difference.
That's one difference.
All right, Sean, thanks again. We'll see you soon. All right, Ira, that was fun. We never did that. What did you think of this mock draft? And just give me a couple of thoughts.
Well, the first thing that strikes me, Lee, is the man does his homework. He knows this stuff. He didn't come late to the party. I was very impressed with Sullivan. Not just the guys that he picked, but why he picked them in the spot.
Yeah, he does this all year round. This is research.
You know, I'm surprised he's got that much time because general manager of Bill Curry Ford, it's a busy dealership, but he finds the time.
Well, what he does is he does a lot of running. I mean, he's an avid jogger, and he listens to draft podcasts while he's running and listens to us. Just think of him panting and listening to you, Ira.
Well, you've been known to be a jogger, too.
I jog right to the bar.
Right to the refrigerator.
All right, Sage. Now, look, as promised in the headline, the good folks of the Tampa Bay area and beyond and across the world, they want to know how you are the one guy, the one sage of Tampa Bay sports, could not figure out how to avoid jury duty. So lay out the story for us, and we'll go out on this from this fantastic podcast.
I'm going to make this quickly, and you're not going to believe some of these things. I got called 2 months ago. I got the thing in the mail. They said you can get excused, you know, one time if you ask for it. I asked for it. I didn't want to mess up any of my columns for Joe Bucks, man. Well, 2 months later, boom, nailed again. 2 weeks ago in the mailbox. Show up for February 17th. I look at the calendar. It's a freaking holiday. What the hell is the courthouse doing open? Oh, they're open. Judges are ready for business. Mm. Show up 7:30 in the morning. 150 people in the room. Takes 3 hours to get you. You know, first jury whipped up and 25 people. Meanwhile, I'm looking for reading material. They got National Geographic's from 1957. The spotted lizards of the Galapagos Islands. I mean, can you upgrade your library? There's books, you know, 400 romance novels.
Hashtag Pasco.
I'm not doing it. So anyway, finally, they call my name. All right, we're impaneling this thing. We go up there, 25 people, five rows of five different people. They're going to pick six and one alternate, seven. So you fill out a questionnaire the night before. You call up to find out if they need you. Of course they need you. They're not going to tell you not to show up. Yeah. Then you fill out a survey. All right, at the end of the survey, what do you do for a living? I put sports writer, employer, joebucksfan.com. Okay. I figure that's going to get me kicked off this jury, if anything else can. You're a member of the media. They don't want any media in there. We're the enemy of the people, DeKemper. Remember that. So we show up. Now, all of a sudden, here comes the prosecution, the state attorneys. And they got your surveys and everything, and she's going around to each person. Finally, she comes to me. Mr. Kaufman, you're a sports writer? She's giving me a dubious look. What's the matter? I don't look like a sports writer?
You think I'm made.
Yeah. So I said, yes, I am. She goes, you got the coolest job in the room. And everybody laughed. And then she started to go on to another question. And I said, hold on. I stopped her right in her tracks. She goes, excuse me? I said, cool your jets. I cover the Bucks. Take it easy with the coolest job. And everybody laughed.
Including
everybody
including
laughed.
The judge.
She stopped.
Oh, man.
So then, you know, she asked me a couple other questions, and now it's the defense attorney. So he's saying, you know, now he bores in on me like a mollusk, yeah, like Steve says. So he says, you're a sports writer, huh? You do any other sports? No, Bucks 24/7. He couldn't believe it. Now he says, do you vote for any Hall of Fames, like the baseball or the football? So I said, football. And immediately says, football? Why can't John Lynch get in the Pro Football Hall? The first question he says.
Are you serious?
I am absolutely serious. And I look at him and I go, it's even worse. I'm the guy that makes the speeches for him. He didn't know that. He's just brought up John Lynch all out of the blue. And everybody turned to me and they're looking at me like, get the job done, Kaufman, get the job done. So then we break and they took you outside. Now they got to pick the six or seven people. I figure I'm out on my ass. And I come back in 20 minutes later and it's like the second name. Kaufman, go take that seat over here. Gentlemen, I have been impaneled on a jury. Who knows? I could end up being the foreman.
Pasco County
this could
jury.
Be 12, you ever heard of 12 angry men? This could be seven angry men.
Now, Ira, do you know if it's a felony or misdemeanor case?
I can't discuss it. I'll say one thing.
We didn't ask you to discuss it.
It's juicy. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, boy.
It's juicy. And there's no buck involved, and don't worry about it.
You know what, Lee? We should go to the Pasco courtroom and watch.
You'll be barred. You'll be barred. Right.
It's open to the public, Ira.
So basically what you're saying is this is a mistrial waiting to happen.
I believe it is once I start saying, boy, that guy looks guilty or, you know, boy, she's not. She's a good-looking prosecutor. I'm not going to say any of those things. It's the first time I'm on a panel. Don't mess me up over here, gentlemen. I'm going to go through this thing. They said it's going to be a two-day trial. I can handle 2 days, DeKemper.
So you get paid $24?
No, they asked me if my employer pays for my compensation. I said, They don't even pay when I go to the Super Bowl. What are you worried about compensation? So, they ask you if you want to contribute your compensation and donate it.
Yeah,
what and I said yes to the Salvation Army of West Pasco.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a good citizen, like Ira.
Wow, that is fantastic. Ira Kaufman on the jury. This
is
fantastic.
And you didn't ask me how my puppy's doing. Because that's a whole adventure over there.
Well, I'm assuming from the last podcast, he's still defecating nonstop.
Well, No, my wife's been working with him, and it's working. He's going on the pad, but he's still in that crate overnight. So I got up at 6:15 this morning. Now, he's in a crate on the far side of the room, so I can't hear him.
He's sequestered.
He's sequestered. Dark room, totally dark. So I get up at 6:15. I'm on little cat's feet. I go over to the coffee machine. I press a button. Next thing I know,
he smelled you.
Nonstop. I go in to take a shave. He doesn't stop. I put the light on. Everything's going crazy, you know, and I wouldn't go in there. I absolutely wouldn't go in
there. He smelled
that room.
You. He didn't hear you.
Are you going to lobby to be jury foreman? You want to lead the troops?
I don't think I want to lead the troops. Do I look like a leader, DeKemper? No, yeah. I'm a leader of Joe Buck's fan, but I don't want to lead the troops.
All right, Ira, send the good people of Tampa out with your final message from this podcast.
All right, I'm going to end it this way, Lee. I've said in the past the Bucks don't know what the hell to do with Jameis Winston. We're in mid-February, and I kind of still feel that way. You're hearing different reports from different sources. Locking 408 in today. They can't do any better. That's the DeKemper argument. Yeah. I'll say this. I'll leave you with this. You've heard of 8 days that shook the world? Well, there were 2 games that shook Bruce Arians' world. I'll end it with that.